Well, here we are on the Sunday of joy, and as I was reflecting on this again, as I do every year, because joy is another one of those words that is hard to get a hold of. It hasn't been sort of misused to the point of awe, which, as we have said more than once, doesn't really mean anything anymore other than that you're saying words. But joy is an interesting word and an interesting idea, and liturgical year A doesn't speak particularly to joy, for better or worse, although there are some things in there that I think we'll be able to pick up on. And I was asking myself sort of the general question, you know, joy, is it better than happiness? And I thought I would take a quick look in at least one translation. I chose the New Revised Standard Version to see how many times does the word happiness appear in the Bible. And it appears 7 times, which isn't bad, nice number of perfection and all. The word joy appears 267 times. So on the sheer weight of numbers, it would appear that the Bible is more concerned with joy than happiness. And I think a big part of that is that happiness is our response to circumstance. Things make us happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happiness. Let's get that out of the way right away. Being happy is delightful, and it's a good thing, and it's nice when we're there. But it's things and circumstances that make us happy. Somebody gives us a present, we're happy. We see someone we haven't seen for a long time, which hopefully will happen to all of us this time of the year. It makes us happy. But without those things happening, it's not that we're necessarily unhappy. But happy is something that happens in response. We're happy about teams winning that we want. And it's another one of those words that is, in a sense, not as useful as it might be, because, you know, we're happy if the Rough Riders win. We're happy if the test comes back and it's not malignant. You know, you just think, oh, these are hardly the same, but we still call them happy. And so it's not as useful a word, perhaps, as we might want anyway. And I prefer joy, if I have to, because joy isn't a result of circumstance. Joy is an inward reality that is independent of circumstance. Joy is something that is within us and is part of who we are. And we can be joyful and unhappy at the same time, which is when you first hear it, or if you're interpretation of joy is that it's sort of a synonym for happiness, doesn't make any sense. But when we look at joy, particularly as it's used in Scripture, where we see over and over again that, you know, the joy of the Lord is a strength of ours, that we will have joy kindled within us. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are all these things that come with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Happiness isn't on the list, because, not to be too flippant about it, but we don't need the Holy Spirit to be happy. We need to, I don't know, find a $5 bill on the street, and that'll probably make us happy, especially when it's on the street where we have no idea who to give it back to. My dad, who delivered mail for most of his working life, obviously found things on the road and on this, all that, and he said if anything was on a public sidewalk, he felt, well, there's nothing I can do about it, that's mine. if it was on somebody's yard, didn't care where it came from, if it came from them or not, he would put it in their mailbox with their mail. When you find things that you've misplaced for a while, even if they're not important, it makes you happy. But joy is something that is beyond happiness and transcends happiness, because joy comes from the inside. And it's a perspective that we have towards the rest of the world. In some ways, we see joy in our gospel reading, even though it's not obvious there. We need to sort of pick it up in the larger picture of the story of John the Baptist. And I'm using a couple of other people's sermons that I honestly can't even remember who they are. Well, one was Billy Strachan, if that name means anything to you. He was the principal at one of the schools in England, and I saw him do a series of meetings a long time ago, and he talked about this very passage. And he talked about how John the Baptist, who's in jail at this point, trying to figure out, well, was I right when I identified Jesus as the one that I've been sent to prepare for? Was I right? And so Jesus does not send the messengers back saying, yes, you were right. What he says is, as Wally read for us, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy have been cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. That was the message that John got. I don't think that message made him necessarily happy, but I think what that message did is it connected all of those dots for him. If you had any questions up until that point, they were answered then. Because that list of things that Jesus is talking about are what we've heard in Isaiah and in other Old Testament prophets saying that when Messiah comes, these are the ways you will know that these things will happen. The deaf will hear, lepers will be cured, even the dead will be raised. These are the things that are going to let you know that the Messiah is in your presence. And I remember Billy saying that, well, that was all John needed. And so when they came to take his head off in response to an ill-made oath by King Herod, he went with a smile on his face because everything had been settled. He had done what he needed to do. And that's one of the things that helps us with joy, is that inner satisfaction of knowing that we're doing what we should do, even if it doesn't make us happy. The exercise of some of our responsibilities as adult people, particularly as believing adult people, don't always make us happy. I don't enjoy correcting my children, and I enjoy even less correcting other adults, particularly when it comes to things around sort of spirituality and what we believe and theology and all of those things. It's not something that makes me happy, but there's still a deep inner sense of joy that I'm doing what I'm called to do. I've met very few people who enjoyed disciplining their children, but I haven't met very many who haven't found a satisfaction in the outcome of the discipline. And that's where it's different. You know, how can you be joyful in the midst of that kind of action? How can you be how could John the Baptist be joyful in prison? Because he'd been called to do a particular thing and he did it. And when we take that other step back and look at joy as not so much something that we experience or a reaction that we have, but it's something that comes with the indwelling Holy Spirit, we begin to see that it becomes part of who we are. It becomes not so much, this is what I will put on. We can act happy. We do it often. And sometimes we just should. I mean, acting, you know, the average clerk in any store does not have the responsibility of dealing with my unhappiness for any reason. I'm going to pretend that I'm at least not unhappy, if not happy, because that's just part of living in a civil society and being polite. We can put on happiness. It's harder to put on joy. It's harder to put on that inner sense that says that we understand that even if things aren't going the way we want to at the moment, if even at this particular moment, our children, who we're pretty sure we've told how to do this a number of times, are still not doing it, we're not happy about that. But we are moving towards raising children who will someday know this and be able to do it for themselves. And we take that inner satisfaction. We can't make it happen for ourselves. It arises within us. C.S. Lewis, in his spiritual autobiography, Surprised by Joy, which I strongly recommend anyone read who hasn't yet, talks about joy in that fleeting sense that it comes from the feeling of joy, that lift of your heart comes not in response to something, it comes almost from nowhere. And in his case, and I've noticed it in myself as well, it comes with a sense of longing. Because it comes from the ultimate source of all goodness that we experience now, but not fully. That our experience of joy is a foretaste of what one day we will experience. The total and unbroken presence of God and us in it. Unimpeded by a fallen world and by fallen bodies and fallen minds that have bad attitudes and distrust things and all of the things that go into making us human. And so on this Sunday of joy, what we're looking at is not just the delights of Christmas that are coming, not just the enjoyment of lighting Advent candles and being part of the tradition, singing the songs that we've sung perhaps for all of our lives, all of those are wonderful. But joy reminds us that this comes from the inside, regardless of what's going on the outside. If the candles won't light, if that person won't be able to make it home as we're hoping for the season, or we won't be able to go there, or the oversized box of Lego we wanted to get for one of the grandkids, we just can't find it, whatever it is, that's not where the joy comes from. The joy comes from being reminded in this time of Advent that we are waiting for the Savior to come again, and to make all of these things make sense that currently don't. We're waiting for Jesus to return, whatever that looks like and whenever it will be. We know it will happen, we just don't know those other things. And at that time, everything will make sense. And we will have roads that are straight and without difficulties, as Isaiah talks about. We'll have relationships with people that are open and free. And above all else, we will have this unimpeded experience of God. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not in a hurry for it to get here. There's still some things I'm enjoying at the moment. But we take joy from that, or that is this part of the source of our joy, knowing that that's coming, knowing that we are working towards it, knowing that in our own fallen and imperfect way, we are doing our part to making the world closer to what it will ultimately be. So on this Sunday of joy, as you are hopefully happy as well, because it's always nice when you're both, but if there are things in your life that are making you unhappy, admit that and enter into those feelings, because they're as legitimate as anything else. But remind yourself that as we lit the pink candle today, the joy is always there. The joy comes with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit when we move into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who said, "I will be with you. And one of the things that I will give you is joy." Amen.